Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio this morning for another edition of Inside the City, the mayor of the city of Palmer, Edna DeVries.
Good morning. Good morning, Mike, and good morning, Palmer. Another great day in Palmer today.
Absolutely. I start every morning, Monday through Friday, that way. It might be a little dark, it might be a little colder, but it still feels like a good place to wake up and smell the roses.
Yeah, right. And we've been having some sunshine, and it has made a difference, I think, in the way everybody feels. And even though the first day of spring's been a few days ago, it still lifts our spirits and makes us happy to be here.
Absolutely. Now, full disclosure, I've known the mayor since 1980, which counts about going on 37 years.
Mm-hmm. You're right. We have known each other that long.
I came into town in August of 1980, and the mayor was one of the first people I met.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. And we're glad you came and you stayed and you're still here and be here for a long time. And we're very happy about that.
So as we think about the many years that have passed, probably kicking this off before we talk about some of the more current events and things that the city's involved in, you have occupied many different seats. Politically speaking,
I have,
and maybe for listeners who are not as familiar and are hearing this for the first time,
okay,
what was your start into politics, if you will, or positions of public note?
Okay, we moved to Palmer in May 1969 from Ketchikan. Prior to that, we had moved from Montana.
Right.
Then in 1971, my husband and I got a divorce, and I found myself as a single parent with two children, 10 and 7.
Oh.
And at that time, for those people that were here or done history, they know the coal mines had closed down. Palmer was, you know, pretty sleepy at that time and was in a, quote, a recession, probably in capital letters.
Right.
And the only job I could find was Bill Curtis, who was a city manager at that time, who gave us like the industrial park, city manager for many years, very visionary. And he was deciding to split the clerk treasurer position. Up to that time, it had been one person.
Right.
And he felt that the city was coming of age in that age. And so he had the treasurer position. And I, at that time, did not have a college degree, but had many credits in accounting, mm-hmm. had worked for a CPA in Ketchikan.
Right.
And so that job opened up, and it looked like a job that I could afford to feed my family. And so I took it, and that was April 1971.
Oh. Wow.
And so I worked for a few years, I think 5+ years, and I wanted to go back to school to get my degree, and so I became a realtor and finished my degree. And but then after a few years, I thought, you know, I really enjoyed government, and so then I was appointed to the Planning and Zoning Commission, became the chair, and then various other elected offices over the years,
You spent time both at the borough level and at the state level, too.
Right. At that, then after I was chairman of planning and zoning, I ran for the city council and was elected and served 2 years there. And then at that time, the area outside of Palmer wasn't as populated as mm-hmm. it is now. And so at that time, and the meetings were such that they were offsetting Tuesday nights. And we had always had a council person on the borough assembly. They ran for the seat separately.
Right.
It wasn't an appointed position.
Well, that's
and
interesting.
And so, yeah, so then I ran for the assembly and was elected and then served. And then when Ron Larson was elected to go to Juneau, he then gave up the mayor, so I ran for the mayor of the borough.
Right.
And then At that time, we had dual seats in the state Senate. It was Jelmer Kutula.
Right.
And they opened up a new seat when they did the census, and then I was elected to that seat.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So you have, and that is fascinating. I have had the opportunity to watch the assembly. I've served on the council. I've mm-hmm. watched the legislature work in Juneau, and I'm fascinated in part because it seems to me that there are fewer people these days that have the breadth of experience to sort of understand these various levels of government and how they all interact and, mm-hmm. and work together. But it sounds as if you've come back and you're mayor of the city of Palmer.
Right, right. Yeah, I came back. We lived in Palmer during that whole time. In 2000, we left Palmer to go to Montana to take care of my mother-in-law, and our oldest daughter had gone through a divorce and had a 16-year-old grandson. And so we wanted to be close to them. And my position at that time on the council and my position on the board of directors for the Valley Hospital were complete. And so we left, and then we came back in the fall of 2009. And then I was elected to the council back in October 2010.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's take a look. You have that not only breadth of experience, but you and I remember the old days. I'm not calling them good, bad, or indifferent. They're just
they were
back
all
then.
Of those.
They were,
weren't they?
They were.
I mean, that's life, right?
That,
I mean,
it's true. So the present time, I know there is a, and you've spoken earlier here about a recession, essentially, and, mm-hmm. and Palmer having struggled a bit.
Right.
And now we're in a situation which is seemingly also bordering on or. Possible, it's even properly described as a recession,
mm-hmm.
And in particular, the state level of budgeting, unlike the city of Palmer, which
right.
has completed its budget and mm-hmm. is moving along,
right.
Is still in a period of struggle, trying to figure out how to craft a budget. And mm-hmm. I know there's considerable disagreement about which way to go and how to do it. There are
right.
solutions, but it's pretty clear that there is a major gap. As you think about that, do you find that Palmer is in some ways in a very good position, or is it about to be hit by things that are happening at the state level?
I think we are in a pretty good position. One of the gauges that I know the council and the city administration watch closely is the sales tax.
Okay.
Because the property tax is pretty well set, you know, at least, you know, once it's set, it's set. So you can't really gauge that to see, you know, if people are for allowing their homes to be foreclosed on and things. That is almost like a year lag, maybe even 18 months lag.
Mm-hmm.
But the sales tax, you know, is something we collect, of course, every month. We have, you know, highs like when the permanent fund, you know, comes out and Christmas and things like that. But that's one of the gauges we use very much at the city of Palmer as to not individuals. I want people to rest assured we're not examining individuals'
For sure.
businesses. But as the overall picture and the total, we watch that very closely, as we are now with the new Fred Meyer
mm-hmm.
and with the other building being vacant, really how much, you know, if there is going to be a difference there until that building, say, if it does go back into retail, until that retail is up and running. So those are the kinds of things that we watch. And I think, and you've been there also to watch, the city council has been really pretty frugal regarding, we haven't added any new positions for the last several years. And we are just, you know, I think we're watching the pocketbook pretty close. And I think, as with my accounting background, that that is one of the areas that I like to watch. And there's a few other the rest of the council that do also.
Sure. And along with that, I know that the manager has described a couple of the major projects. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars involved with just the repaving of the airport runway. Development of improvements to wastewater.
Treatment. The sewer lagoon.
And those seem to carry forward, in my mind, the image of Palmer as a city that takes care of fundamentals. I mean, that's my sense about it. I've been down in Ketchikan, for example, and Ketchikan's is a fine city. I think it's a gateway to Alaska. Still has some significant issues associated with water, wastewater, as do many places around the state. And I'm almost ready to throw out the idea that Palmer has the best system in terms of being up to date and having a program of improvement that is actually being worked. Even Anchorage has some significant issues about what to do with its effluent, for example.
In fact, on that, next Tuesday, the 28th, is when we're going to open bids. And there's been a lot of interest, I think, just because there has not been a capital budget from the state. You know, most of the municipalities or projects are spending money from grants that they maybe gotten in the past. But as you know, we haven't gotten any capital money last year, don't anticipate getting any this year. So that makes some of the business contractors hungry, which is a benefit to the city. So the people that pay their sewer bills are going to see that if we get good bids and the bids come in lower, that's going to affect their sewer rates, you know, in 6 months to a year, year and a half from now. So that's going to be a benefit to us. We hate to see the rest of the state in a recession, you know, Neil, as you know, Neil Fried talked to the chamber recently about just sort of this bubble that the borough is in, and maybe not so much now with the request from Matsu School District, but the city of Palmer is writing that our building permits are up this year over last year already. And if you compare it to the last 10 years, we're like the third. And so from 2006 to 2016, 17. So that's sort of interesting. We got, as you probably have already, a lot of people already know, we got the second business going into the Matt Maid location. And that, I think, has been something people have been anxiously awaiting to see what's going to be happening there. And so we've seen two local business people step up to the plate and say, you know, listen, we feel it's a good time to invest. We welcome them.
We've been talking, looking back a bit and looking at the present time. I know that on Tuesday you also had a visioning exercise.
Right, we did. Yes.
How about summarizing what you think came out of that?
Okay. Yes, we did. We hadn't had a goal setting from the council and the city manager because we've had three city managers in the last, you know, 5 years. But we have an excellent city manager now. And so we decided that it was time just to sit and talk about. It was interesting because we just let it be open. And what the city manager brought before us was looking at what Palmer would be, maybe, and what would maybe happen between now and 2035, which would be 100 years from the time that the colonists came. And so that was sort of interesting. It's interesting even just for yourself to think about, okay, what is going to go on in the world in 2035? But, you know, we want to see the things continue, like, you know, agriculture. We want to continue to be Palmer's, the, you know, best in Alaska. And so we want those type of things, the community development regarding the community feeling that Palmer has. And those kind of things. But you try to think, well, you know, about transportation, you know, will there be flying cars that
right.
do you need to have a car helicopter pad for cars, or will it all be bicycles at that time? And will there not be, you know, some of the major thoroughfares that we have,
sure.
or will there be even more, you know? And so it was excellent. We had quite a few members from the community there. And when we were done, we suspended the rules and allowed the audience to have a second audience
wonderful.
Participation. And we had people from the audience come forth and said, well, we think this was really good. This was a good idea. You're looking at it. AARP is coming at our city council meeting next Tuesday night to talk about livability.
Right.
And so they felt like that we were all of those were going to start to dovetail together. And
so and as you're talking about this, I was thinking, because I've witnessed the discussion go back and forth, the question about how much, how to balance, if I can describe it that way, entrepreneurial efforts from private developers
mm-hmm.
with the city providing a structure of some sort within mm-hmm. which it's possible to do development and be somewhat assured
mm-hmm.
that you can make it happen, and that you whatever you're doing is not going to be somehow made less by something that happens next door that shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
How do you view that balancing act?
Well, that was one of the things that we even when we're talking about 2000. Palmer in 2035, you know, will the city limits, you know, the city limits are pretty restrictive.
Right.
But we have a huge, when you talk to people that feel that they're from Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things we discussed about the people that say, okay, I live in Palmer or I am from Palmer. And whether, you know, you go up Hatcher's Pass or whether you go out to Gateway or Four Corners or wherever, anybody that has a Palmer address seems to want to be a Palmer person. And so we started to look at that, like, okay, where is going to be the development? Is there going to be further development on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway, which the majority of it is outside the city? And how do we help direct that if it is outside? And so there was a very interesting map that the city manager did with all kinds of different colors about where, you know, one of the things I think Palmer's lacking is a hotel. You know, we have
sure.
events at the ice skating rink. We have, you know, we recently had the Lions State Convention here.
Yep.
So there are a number of things like that that are going on, but the people have to stay in Wasilla. And so us being a little bit territorial.
Sure. There are hotels, but none big enough with the
yeah.
conferencing kind of.
Yeah, thing. And there's no conferencing kind of space.
Right.
And so that was one of the topics that we talked about. But again, going back to what we even talked about, Mike, in the very beginning, is that I think Palmer is concerned about the paving of the railroad, of the airport, you know, the sewer lagoon, being sure that when the toilets are flushed, that they do flush, you
mm-hmm.
know. And so Palmer doing that and giving some structure to people that want to come in and start businesses or build buildings and things like that, but not being over restrictive regarding that. And that is a fine balance, as you know. And I know you've heard the discussion around that table as well as the borough table, et cetera.
I've been one of those who has built a home in Palmer,
mm-hmm.
and I remember going through the process, and because I'm not a professional, do it all the time, house builder,
mm-hmm.
I valued the building inspector,
mm-hmm.
because I would
mm-hmm.
move along, we would submit our plans, et cetera, and something
right.
would be pointed out, and we'd go on to the next level, and I made sure that mm-hmm. every time possible, he would come out and make sure this was right.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some good discussions. It was a log home that we were building, which
mm-hmm.
always
beautiful.
A little bit different.
Oh, yes, challenges. Mm.
But I know also people have built in the more remote areas of the borough.
Mm-hmm.
And without that kind of the kind of requirements that
right.
exist in the city or someone available for that,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it works out. sometimes it doesn't work out so well.
Right.
And you're right. Finding the balance. I think what I'm hearing you say is, yes, the city has a responsibility to ensure that its citizens are going to live safely. So if something is allowed that will be a fire hazard next door and starts a fire that affects many people, that's not a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's absolutely right. There's, you know, and I think that's the role of government, that give and take. And like you said, is the balancing act. And as myself as an elected official and you as a past elected official realize that that is, quote, sort of a heavy load. And it's something you wrestle with, wake up in the night and think about and try to think, okay, in 2035, how is this going to affect?
How's it going to be? Well, let me, Mike Malefsky here. I've been talking with Mayor Edna DeVries, mayor of the city of Palmer. And I'm curious, as you look toward your time in office as mayor in particular, have you identified one or more goals that you would like to see achieved?
Well, I think, again, getting back just to the basics, you know, that we have safe streets, that we have safe, that our community is safe. You started to talk a little bit about that. One of the recent discussions the city council had and voted in favor was to add one of our police force or department to the Federal Drug Enforcement Act. They are going to, they're allowing five municipalities to present officers for that training. And that was a discussion and was a split vote on the city council, which we do not have very often. But I think, you know, and again, going back to water and sewer, those basic things, the airport, which we had a huge investment in. And so we got to continue to invest in that. And then, of course, we have the quality of life items, like whether it's the ice arena or the library, or even the events downtown that people come to Palmer for because nobody else has them, you know, whether it's this non-essentials just had, you know, out of the basement event we're going to have coming up, you know, who let the girls out. The 557 engine committee came and presented their plans that maybe they will start using the railroad track from Matanuska into Palmer and the trail and the track that was put in when the industrial park was put in that went to the airport that I'm as far as I know has not been used.
Not much.
Yeah. And so there's all of those kinds of things that you have to again have the balance. And to me the government is to be sure we have safe streets, that the toilet flushes, you know, those kind of thing, that there's some planning going on regarding if we do want to expand our borders, then what do we offer those people?
Yeah, I hesitated to bring up expanding the borders, sometimes known as annexation, because there's been some energy around that over the years. And there have been some really good faith efforts and studies done and so on. And yet we are still looking, and as you pointed out, the city of Palmer is a fairly contiguous, small footprint. But we do have some outliers, such as Cedar Hills, that sits sort of as an island out there.
It does.
And so how will this, are we going to say, well, you're just going to keep it this way and never, ever change the dimensions, or how to go about that?
Yeah, and, you know, almost not quite directly across the street, but across the street and even before you get to Cedar Hills, the city of Palmer goes up, but then there's a little outpatch there that the city did want to annex, and it went all the way, as you know, to the local boundary commission, which is a state commission where you have to, for the listeners, and you have to have approval by them. And the people living in that outcropped area said, no, you know, we do not want to be part of the city of Palmer's inside the limits. And so, and the boundary commission agreed with them.
There we go.
So, you know, you and one of what I, to me, the maybe the one mistake that Palmer's done in the past is where we allowed water and sewer to be extended without, in that, what was the carrot all the years, many years ago, was the fact that, okay, if you want city water and sewer, which is very desirable for any builder, then you need to be annexed into the city and become a city. And now we don't have that to attract people to be willing to be annexed. And so the one church that's on the way to Cedar Hills was part, they had land inside and outside the city. And so they, when they did their big remodeling, they had two lots that they wanted annexed to the city. They owned the lots. So there was no, we didn't have to have an election or nothing. It took them 18 months by the time they went through what the city's procedures, the local boundaries procedures, then it goes to the legislature, all of those hoops, even if it's your own property. And so, you know, when you start talking about
larger areas,
enlarging your footprint, it's just not a matter of a motion by the council or even a vote of the local people or their desire. There are many other layers, or at least two more layers of government that gets their hands in it. And so you can't count that it's a sure thing.
Well, thank you. I it sounds as if you have something to keep you occupied and keep good discussion happening at the city council meetings as they go forward. We have about a minute left. Do you have any last comments to make before we finish?
Well, I just like I said, came to Palmer in May 1969, and except for a few years when we went to Montana to take care of my mother-in-law and my grandson, I still think it's Alaska at its best, and it's a wonderful place to live. And my door's always open to anybody that has any comments, good, bad, or you know, or criticism or flattery. So
that too. Okay.
And I'm sure you're open to the same thing as a business person.
I am. Thank you for putting it that way. And thank you for Mayor Edna DeVries for coming in and being part of Inside the City. Have a good day.
You too. And it's been my pleasure. Thank you.